watchdog. There's a headline on the International Herald Tribune, which I believe is the international version of the New York Times. It's confirmed a number of other news resources this morning that Kissinger drew up plans to attack Cuba. Kissinger was a national security advisor for a while and became Secretary of State. He was never a general, never an admiral, was never on the Joint Chiefs of Staff, never worked in the Pentagon. I've made the claim on this program that it appears that the State Department and the Department of Defense are acting as if they are one. And I made the claim regarding our situation in Iraq, where we now have 1,600 Department of Defense troops in Iraq, in addition to 5,000 State Department and CIA operatives in Baghdad. 5,000 in addition to the 1,600 military personnel. And it's my view that they operate as one. It's very much like the CIA, the NSA, and the military intelligence are integrated, that the NSA's head is a military man, almost always a general. And the State Department is no longer independent of the U.S. military. It's a serious problem that America interacts with the world through a combination Department of Defense, Department of State, and security spying apparatus. But it's true that it was Kissinger that drew up the plans to invade Cuba, not the U.S. military. Returning to a story a little more recent, a little closer to home, a man serving life in prison for killing, murdering a Philadelphia police officer in 1981 has been selected as a commencement speaker at his Vermont alma mater. Goddard College, a liberal arts college in Plainfield, Vermont, with 600 students, says on its website that Mumia Abu Jamal's, gee, what do you think that Mumia Abu Jamal's religion is? Recorded remarks, because he's still a guest of the Vermont government, will be played at Sunday during a commencement along with a video about him. Bob Kenny, the school's interim president, is quoted on the website as saying that the graduate selection of Abu Jamal reflects, quote, their freedom to engage and think radically. Now, radically here is now used correctly. And critically, that would be used incorrectly in a world that often sets up barriers to do just that. Abu Jamal, the murdering Muslim, was originally sentenced to death for killing Daniel Faulkner, December 9th, 1981. But his sentence to life was resentenced to life in 2012. He graduated from Goddard, squandering the education in 1996. He, of course, claims that he's been victimized by a racist justice system. A racist justice system. I mean, there's articles today trying to affirm the president was right when he said the justice system is biased racially. And what they do is they show that on federal cases that there is a propensity on federal cases to provide the convicted individual a 10% longer term if they are black than if they are white. Oh, well, you know, 10% is borderline borderline useful in terms of a differentiation. It's only in federal cases, and it's only if people convicted of crime. So you really ought not be using that, the sentencing, because the people being sentenced were convicted of perpetrating a heinous crime if they're in federal court. You don't go to federal court for engaging in cheating at tiddlywinks. So not only is the 10% insignificant, but beyond that, we're only talking about sentences, not verdicts. If there was a disagreement, if there was a racial bias in verdicts, and it was material, which it is, and there is, then that would be relevant. But that is in state courts. The most comprehensive study ever done of the judicial system found in state courts that the propensity to exonerate the black individual was significantly greater than exonerating the white individual of the same crime. So the judicial system isn't colorblind in favor of the black individual. But the bottom line here that neither of those is particularly relevant to the real issue, which is crime being perpetrated. And every bit of evidence that's available to us, from the Department of Justice to the FBI's analysis of all crime perpetrated in America over the past 10, 20, 30, 40 years, all shows the same thing, that blacks are 600% more likely to commit murders and rapes, 500% more likely to commit assaults and robberies. Those are really serious numbers. Anyway, he's saying, oh boy, yeah, I've been discriminated against for killing that white officer. I'm a victim. The Abu Jamal was formerly, before his adoption of Islam, was a Black Panther. The Vermont Troopers Association said on Tuesday that including Abu Jamal in the commencement shows an absolute disregard for Faulkner's family. Yeah, of course it does. But they don't care. They can't think, the graduates of this Goddard University, Goddard College. Goddard holds 20 commencements ceremonies every year, so students in each degree program can individualize their own graduations and choose their speakers. Yeah, everything at Goddard is individualized. Students who are receiving bachelor's of arts or fine arts degrees Sunday chose Abu Jamal, who received a bachelor's degree from Goddard. 20 of the 23 students are receiving arts degrees who are receiving arts degrees are expected to attend this ceremony. Good for you. Show how stupid you are. Show how grotesquely immoral you are. Show that you can't think. Goddard students design their own curriculums. They do not take tests. They do not receive grades, said college spokesman Dustin Brierly. Yeah, that's perfect for political correctness. No grades. No tests. You know, tests, those things are objective. We don't want something that's objective. Grades. Oh, you know, who's to say who prevailed? We don't, you know, grades. There's no failing. There's no one person did better than somebody else. Why even try?
Hey, Yana?
Yes?
Does the text there say curriculums?
Curriculums, yeah.
Oh, that's pretty good, because the plural of curriculum is curricula.
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah. And by the way, this was a statement by, This was a statement by Dustin Brierley, who is the spokesman for the college. And in his own quote, he put in curriculums as opposed to curricula.
Yeah. Wow. I are a college spokesperson.
I are. Yeah. I are one, yes. I used to be ignorant, but now I are smart.
Come on, guys. It's I is.
Right. I is smart. Yeah. Okay. In our search to determine whether or not Islam might promote suicide bombings at all, Dateline Kabul, Afghanistan. This is another one of those countries that had no terrorist acts of any significance prior to the American invasion, and of course now they are a living hellhole for Islamic terrorist attacks. The two suicide bombers in Afghanistan's capital in Kabul targeted two buses carrying Afghans on Wednesday, killing seven and wounding 21 people. The first attack hit the bus, killing seven and wounded 15 west of Kabul. And the second attacker, who was on foot, blew himself up in a second bus northeast of Kabul, wounding an additional group of personnel. So I ask you, so we're trying to make connections here. What religion sponsors suicide bombers? If you hear the word suicide bomber, do you think of the Boy Scouts? No. When you hear suicide bomber, how about the Indian guides? No. Suicide bomber, Baptist Church? Probably not. Those groups don't really have a presence in Kabul, Afghanistan, anyway. Suicide bomber, Taliban? Okay. Suicide bomber, Muslim? Okay. Suicide bomber, Hamas, the PLO, Fatah? Okay, I see some connections here. Suicide bomber, moron screaming Allahu Akbar as they fly airplanes into the Twin Towers. Yeah, I think there's a connection between Islam and suicide bomber. It's the religion's signature act. One of the worst speeches ever given in front of the United Nations was delivered by one Barack Hussein Obama a week ago. We have been gradually making our way through his speech, exposing and condemning its every lie. The lie that this speech was created to promote is that an ideological brand of terrorists have perverted one of the world's great religions. That was the crescendo of his speech. But in this century, we have faced a more lethal and ideological brand of terrorists who have perverted one of the world's great religions. During the break, two breaks ago, Scott asked me, can you name something that is a benefit of Islam? I mean, we know that Islam is responsible for suicide bombing, that is responsible for 99% of the world's terrorist acts today. We know that Islam subjects women to a hellish existence without rights. We know that that Islam is responsible for the sexual mutilation of 250 million girls. We know that Islam is responsible for the carnage in Iraq and Syria. We know Islam is responsible for the complete dysfunctional nature now of Egypt. We know that Islam is responsible for a genocidal rage against Christians and Jews. We know that in Islam's first 100 years, it was the most barbaric human institution to ever ravage the world. But what can Islam claim that is beneficial? There isn't a single great university in the world that is Islamic.
I'll wait. I mean, I got plenty of time. I'll wait.
There isn't a single product in the world that was invented and is manufactured in the Islamic world that is successful. There is no scientific achievement. And you've got 20% of the world's population. And there's no medical advances. There's no technological advances. There's no great moral victories. There's no great literature. Nothing. How hard is it, folks, to figure out that Islam is a blight on humanity and has been for 1,400 years? I was disgusted yesterday by the National Football League. In a game that was on Monday Night Football, I watched, and you had a fellow named Slave to Allah. Now, if you haven't read the Quran and Hadith, you don't get an opinion here, because your opinion is worthless. If you've read the Quran and Hadith, you know that Abdallah means slave to Allah. And if you've read the Quran and Hadith, if you've studied Muhammad's life, if you've taken the time to evaluate the five sources that were compiled from the oral reports emanating out from Muhammad and his companions, then you know for certain, for absolute certain, that Allah is Muhammad's alter ego. That when Muhammad speaks for Allah, he's speaking for himself. And that Muhammad was so perverted and by his own admission demon-possessed, making the God of Islam identical in every way to Satan. So when Abdallah, a defensive player for Kansas City, intercepted a ball and ran it back for a touchdown, he engaged in Islamic prostrations, mooning God, you know, butt up, bowing down, an Islamic prostration. He was flagged for the penalty. You know, it's the NFL stands for the No Fun League, and when people, so when people celebrate, it's a penalty now, and which is stupid. But the NFL came out with a statement and said, no, you know, he was wrongly flagged. There's nothing wrong with him engaging in a religious act, even though the object of his worship is Satan. Even though Muslims are killing Christians and Jews and fellow Muslims by the hundreds of thousands. Even though Islam is the most destructive force in the world today, the NFL said, oh, go right ahead. Use our football game. Use our sporting event to promote your devotion to this deadly deity. So in front of all of the world at the United Nations, the Obaminator trying to mislead everyone said, but in this century, he was speaking of terrorism, we have faced a more lethal and ideological brand of terrorists who have perverted one of the world's great religions. Now, I have shared with you the lack of greatness of Islam. And if you'd like to chime in and show me that Islam is responsible for great inventions and for great enlightenment and for great discoveries and for great economic prosperity and for the advancement of the human experience and for elevation of women to a position of dignity, that they're opposed to terrorism, that they're opposed to war, that they were not the world's most ruthless barbarians, that they aren't rapists and pedophiles and mass murdering jihadists. If you'd like to take advocacy of those positions, have at it. the reality in this case is overwhelming. It's undeniable. Islam is a terrible plague that has been perpetrated on humanity. Now, he says they have perverted one of the world's greatest religions. So, I don't claim to be the world's greatest wordsmith, but I thought that rather than give you my definition of perverted, I'd just look it up. And pervert is both a verb and a noun. As a verb, to pervert means to alter something from its original course, meaning, or state, to a distortion or corruption of what was first intended. So there could be no statement more inconsistent with the terrorist interpretation of Islam, with the terrorist adaptation of Islam, with the terrorist expression of Islam, than what the president said. Because Muhammad was a terrorist. It's not my opinion. It's not pulling things out of context. In the first 10 years of the Islamic era, which began with the Pledge of Aqaba, which was a pledge to wage war on behalf of Muhammad against all humankind. That's what the Pledge of Aqaba reads. It's the first day of the Islamic era. That's when their calendar begins. That's what when Islam's onslaught against humanity began. The Pledge of Aqaba. Read it. From that moment, over the 10 remaining years of his pathetic life, Muhammad personally led or inspired, directed 75 terrorist raids. 75 terrorist raids in 10 years. They're all chronicled in the Islamic Hadith. Some of them are also spoken of in the Quran. Of those 75 terrorist raids, not a single one of them was against political figures or a military. Not a single one of them was in opposition even to a judicial system. Not one. There isn't a single act among them that can be considered an act of war, a military engagement, or even a guerrilla encounter. 100% of the 75 terrorist raids led and inspired by Muhammad during the first 10 years of the Islamic era were against civilians. All but two, Muhammad was the aggressor. In two of the 75, Muhammad was defending himself. But he was only put in a position where he was defending himself because he had violated his hometown, Mecca, in every possible way. He struck first in the attack at Badr, where he robbed one of their caravans, killed their men, enslaved others, kidnapped some, ransomed some, stole their property. And he continued to assault the Meccans. And so twice the Meccans said, you know, we've got to deal with this man. We have to stop him from terrorizing us. So you really can't even count those as defensive battles, which means that 75 of 75, Muhammad was an offensive terrorist. All of them were against civilian targets. Not a single one was perpetrated against a nation with a military or even a militia. The purpose of all of them is described in the Quran itself as booty, stealing. That's why the Quran says stealing is lawful and good. They were all terrorist raids, 75 of them, led by and encouraged by, authorized by, inspired by Muhammad for the express purpose, not of spreading Islam, not of defending Islam, but of profiting through piracy. Through robbing civilians, enslaving civilians, kidnapping civilians, and holding them for ransom. Stealing their property, stealing their possessions. 75 of those in the first 10 years of the Islamic era following the Pledge of Aqaba. Islam is a terrorist religion. It was born out of terrorism. Muhammad was a ruthless terrorist. Muhammad said, I have become victorious with terror. To suggest that Islamic terrorists have altered Islam from that of Muhammad, its original source, its original course, its original meaning, and have distorted it, is to be 100% ignorant and 100% irrational, as well as 100% wrong. Anyone who says that today's Islamic jihadists have perverted their religion from its original course, altered its meaning, or changed its state to a distortion or corruption of what was initially intended is an ignoramus. They are disingenuous. They are either absolutely stupid, they're either absolutely and totally irrational, they're absolutely and completely unaware, or they're deliberately deceiving their audience. Now, that's your choice with the President of the United States. You can say that he is completely stupid, that he is completely unaware, that he is completely unqualified to be making these statements and to be President of the United States. That's option one. Or you can say that he is an overt liar, that he is a deliberate deceiver, that he is grotesquely irrational and immoral. That's your other option. Take your pick. Those are the only two valid options. I was laughing in the... Yeah, let me just finish one thought. I was laughing in the break, however, Glenn, because pervert is also a noun. To pervert is a verb. Pervert is a noun. It's a person whose sexual behavior is regarded as abnormal and unacceptable. Muhammad.
Now, that is a sexual pervert, okay? A pervert is anyone who perverts anything. So, you know, a person who perverts Yahweh's intention for sex is a sexual pervert.
Yeah.
That pervert has taken on a sexual... But you can pervert a political system. You can pervert all kinds of things.
I would agree. I'm just reading what Google's dictionary defined. I read the entire definition of... pervert as a verb and pervert as a noun. But what is funny here, to use pervert and perverted in association with Islam, where Muhammad was a pervert. And he was a pervert by the full spectrum, but beginning with sexual perversion, he was incestuous, stealing his son's wife. Right. He was a pedophile when he was 50, having sex with a 6-year-old girl and many child sex slaves. He was a rapist, multiple times raping captives. He created a religion that condoned rape. He was a pervert in the sense of being dishonest in terms of twisting. Like, for example, much of the Quran is a perversion of the rabbinical Talmud, the Babylonian Talmud.
Right.
And so he perverted the Babylonian Talmud to create a religious veil for his personal...
Exactly, that's what I'm saying, right.
He perverted the nature of the rock god Allah to become a perversion of his own persona. But to use pervert in association with Islam is delicious in its irony.
Well, it absolutely applies, right, in multiple ways,
Yes.
Yeah, far be it from me to impugn the erudition of Google scholars. But, It does have a sexual connotation most of the time. It's used as a noun, but one can pervert the truth in any number of ways.
To pervert the truth, you are using pervert as a verb, opposed to a noun. In common usage, a pervert noun is almost always somebody who is deemed doing the kind of things that Muhammad is famous for doing, being a pedophile, being a rapist, being incestuous, being a womanizer. Muhammad was also, I'm convinced, homosexual, and the sense that that since the entire Quran is his lust for sex, power, and money, when he describes paradise, in one of his descriptions of paradise, he talks about homosexual sex without shame.
Right. Right. Exactly. So, yeah, exactly. One thing I find disturbing about this was cultural deference we're now seeing to Islam. And, I'll wait for the break.
Yes.
This is getting to be a real problem, is cultural deference to Islam and denial of what the Quran actually says.
Correct. Yeah, it's a completely revisionist, a total perversion of what Islam is and has done and represents today is what is being preferred. Like your Saturday Miss, we have, but Glenn, want to complete a point on our media and political deference, academic deference to the Islamic world, even though it has nothing to offer. And then we have Wes on the line, who has a question related to the United Nations. But go ahead, Glenn. I'm going to agree with you on this point.
Okay. I just want to point out that on talk radio, we have, in activism, we have some atheists who are not so atheistic. Are you there? I'm aware of one supposedly atheist talk radio show host who is very pro-Palestinian, mm-hmm. and very anti-Zionist, and he hurts the message of Islam by trying to say that the Quran says things like he who saves life, that this is a serious state, the whole world or something like that. And it's like, I'm not sure where you dug that up, but have you read the ninth surah of the Quran?
The Quran does say, the Quran has one line in it, it's a Quran 5:32, where it's a pilfered line from the Babylonian Talmud. Babylonian Talmud is discussing, rabbis are discussing the story of Cain and Abel. And in the discussion of the story of Cain and Abel, when, there's so few people in the world, they are moralizing the story of Cain and Abel and says, if you kill one person, it's as if you killed all of humanity. And it's extra Torah, it's part of rabbinical arguments in the Babylonian Talmud, it at least makes some sense in the context of that story. Muhammad heard the story because he paid for Talmud recitals because he ran out of material for his Quran. And then he put it in a place that it never belonged. I mean, it's just completely out of context where Muhammad used it. And then Muhammad follows it with the most heinous line in the Quran, which is when you find those that are making mischief, which is defined elsewhere in the Quran as being un-Islamic, being unwilling to surrender to Muhammad and to Islam and to Allah, that you ought to crucify them, that you ought to cut off a hand and a foot on opposite sides, that you ought to imprison them. And that's the next line. So when somebody like an atheist quotes that first line, not knowing that it was pilfered and perverted from the Babylonian Talmud, and then that and doesn't state the next line, the atheist is promoting a false religion.
Right. And then atheists who seem to be very, again, anti-Zionist, anti-Jewish, and anti-Christian.
Because Yahweh chose that place and those people to speak for
him. Right, right. Well, we have guys like Dan Barker over at the Freedom From Religion Foundation. He's supposedly a an avowed atheist after having converted from being an Assemblies of God pastor who sticks up for satanic chaplains in the U.S. military. Well, why isn't Satan just as bad as you're an atheist? Wouldn't Satan be just as bad as a god?
Of course,
as Yahweh,
of course.
Or,
yeah, in fact, there is not, without Yahweh, without the Torah and prophets, there is no Satan. Satan is simply the Hebrew word for adversary. There is no Satan without no knowledge of him. So you're acknowledging the authenticity of the Torah, prophets, and Psalms when you acknowledge Satan.
Atheist friends are not still. I'll let you go.
Great points. Hello, Wes. I understand you have a question regarding the United Nations. Hope I can answer. That's not my expertise, but I'll certainly try. Welcome.
Yeah. What country holds the record number of United Nations resolution violations? No doubt it must be a Muslim country, right?
Well, no, I wouldn't go there because the United Nations would automatically, by its bias, favor Islamic countries.
Oh, really?
and be opposed to Israel. That just happens to be its bias. So that's what I would expect.
Okay, I'll ask another question then.
Yes.
What
uh-huh.
nuclear armed country has failed to sign the anti-proliferation treaty?
There are a number of them. That,
go ahead, name them, please.
Pakistan, for example. Saudi Arabia, for example. India, for example.
What about
Israel? I understand that your call is to besmirch Israel. Israel actually has never acknowledged that it is a nuclear power. Is there a possibility that they have a nuclear arsenal? Yeah, I suppose. Never tested it, never demonstrated that it actually exists. So we have to be careful in that regard. You know, if you want to go and besmirch Israel, you're going to have to do it on a different program because I stand with Israel, I stand with the Israelites, I stand with Yahweh.